So Eliezer, Eved Avram, now begins his pitch, the sales pitch. And he's going to try to convince Rivka's parents to let her go. So she invited him home. He comes into the house. And before he gets comfortable, and before he accepts her invitation to have something to eat, Avraham Avinu's servant says that I cannot eat Adim Dibarti. I have to make my sales pitch first. I have something to say. Only when I say what I have to say, then we can move on. But till then, business comes first. But Yomer Daber. So they said, okay, go ahead. We have no idea what you're doing here. So this is going to be in chapter 24, verse 34. Vayoymar, he says, first things first, let me introduce myself. Eved Avraham Anoichi. I am a servant of Avraham. Now, if you're planning to make a sales pitch and want people to listen to you, and they think you're a billionaire, or a very big millionaire, you come along and say, listen, I'm just a schlepper. I just work for the company. I'm not really the guy. That's not going to increase your chances. It's going to diminish your chances. Why would he do something which is self-depreciating? Why does he have to mention that he's a servant of Avraham? Say, my name is Eliezer, CEO of Abrahamic Companies. So the psukta Zutusa says, because Eliezer realized they thought he was Avraham. They thought he was Avraham. Remember, the camels were specially muzzled. Remember, there was this moral guy and lived far away, and he's interested in the family. I want to meet the family. So he wants to meet the family. He must be Avraham. So Eliezer says, no, one second. I am the servant of Avraham. It's not like they were getting selfies of Avraham every day. He left a long, long time ago. He left when he was age 75. At this point, Avraham is 137. Actually, 140 to be exact. It's 3 years later. 3 years after the Akedah. So, he left at 75, 140. He probably had a white beard when he left. Maybe he's a little whiter now. The people didn't necessarily remember what Avraham looked like. That hadn't seen him in 75 years.
Well, they had selfies.
Now you know they had selfies. 65 years, I haven't seen the man. So Eliezer says, no, I'm not. Don't get excited. Stop kissing me. I'm not your relative. I'm just his servant. Now the Radak has a very interesting way of explaining what the Psikta says. He says, so what's wrong if they think he's Avraham? Like, whatever works to, you got a sale to make. He has a job to do. I never told you I'm Avraham. You thought I'm Avraham. It's your problem. So Radak says, if you have a weakness in your argument, you're planning to make a sale, you have there's some kind of deficiency, talk about it up front. Because if you don't talk about it up front, what happens? Then they discover there's a weakness in the argument, and then the whole thing collapses. So Eliezer, instead of them discovering who he is or isn't, he says, let me tell you right now. Let me tell you right now. Before we get going, I want you to know that I am a servant. So you shouldn't come back later and say, oh, well, we made an agreement, but we thought we were talking to the man, to the guy, and you're just a servant. So he says, this could happen after they find out Yevatel is Dvarov. And for this reason, Eliezer begins, and now there's no questions. No questions. He's the Eved of Avraham, and therefore all the wealth is not even mine. Don't get excited, but I have the keys to wealth. I can lead you in that direction, but I'm just the Eved. In the Pe Kodesh, it says the following. Avraham Avinu is a very wealthy man.
Not anymore.
Well, he trusts his son. Eliezer was also well coiffed. He was probably very well dressed. He came in the equivalent of a Brooks Brothers suit. He was wearing fancy shoes. He looked good. And he said, I'm just a servant. Could you imagine how wealthy Avraham is? This is how the servants dress in this house. There's a famous story they tell of a coachman. He used to take this famous dove around And every time he would come, the Rav would be welcomed with open arms. Everybody would be excited, and he would go give a drasha and a speech. And the coachman said, you know, you're always the bride. I'm always the bridesmaid. I never get any attention. Let me know what it feels like for once just to ride into town. And everybody should come and greet me. And the Rav says, I promise you. He says, I don't enjoy this attention for one moment. He says, well, why don't you put on my hat, and I'll put on your shtreimel. You'll be the coachman. Okay? No problem. So everybody had a beard those days in Europe. The Wasserträger and the rabbi looked the same. So the Rav gets behind the thing, and he's cracking the whip, and the horse is going, and they ride into town. And somebody comes running over and says, oh, the famous Rav. And he runs over to this balagola, and he says, I have a shaila for you. I've been waiting, hoping you come. I have this very deep, profound question. And he says, ask the question. And the coachman is in trouble now, right? He says, this is a question. That you ask my coachman. Even he knows the answer. So he's like, you think I'm rich? I'm just a servant. Can you imagine Avraham's wealth? So from the Pek Kodesh's perspective, he's not actually demeaning his case. He's not, on the contrary, he's making the case even stronger. At any rate, this is a few ways to understand Avraham's, Eliezer's unusual introduction, self-depreciating introduction. Vashem Berech Es Adoni Mo'ed. The truth is about this introduction that it just shows you a real chassid. He's like, I'm just an extension. I just represent him. God Sugizunt. God blessed my master greatly. By Yigdol, he become very great. By Yitol Itzoyim Uvokar Vakesav Azov, he's got livestock, sheep, cattle, silver, gold. Avodim Ushvachas, he's got a workforce, a fleet. Gmalim, you can't even imagine how many camels he's got. Chamoidim, this man is very wealthy. You should be excited to deal with him. Now, Avadim, if you take a look inside, as I always encourage you to, is missing, it's misspelled. Avadim is usually spelled with a yud between the dalet and the mem. And the obvious question is, what's up with that misspelling? Why did the Torah put it that way? So the Baal HaRikeach says like this. Avraham Avinu had a policy. If you weren't a Yerei Shemayim, if you didn't belong in Avraham's house, you got the pink slip. You're out of there. Avraham Avinu kept a tight ship, which means that he had this very, very high standard of integrity and morality and decency. And if you weren't able to measure up, you were out. You were out. So he's already conveying to him, apparently he conveyed to him what kind of slaves. Avraham Avinu is very, very wealthy, but he's not corrupt. And the wealth didn't get to him. And he's not even corrupt people in his environment. Everything is tight ship. And in this tight ship, what happened is, Vatelet Sarah, Ashes Adoni. Sarah, the wife of my master, bore a son, La Adoni, a ben La Adoni. And this happened, Achari Ziknosa, after they had already become old. Vayiten Lai, Eskol Asher Lai. He gave him everything that he owns, he gave to his son.
Even in the best, now he's missing also the...
I'm sorry?
He says... Ven Adoni.
Right.
Not ben. Ben.
Okay, that's going to be a grammatical thing. There's Ven and not Ben. Mm. So why does he have to emphasize that Sarah was born, had a baby, Lasik Nosa? What relevance is that to the story? What's relevant is that there's an eligible bachelor, not how old his mother was when he was born. So the Chizkuni says, Avraham Avinu, Eliezer was trying to say to them, he inherits everything. How do you know? Because Ashes Adoni, the wife, only had one child. And that was, she was already very old. Mind you, we could have said she wasn't alive anymore. But at any rate, he said she's very old. So it was like one son. It's like a different way of saying an only son, an only child. And the Sephardim says, this is about conveying how precious Yitzchak was. Because the natural question, they'll say, oh, Yitzchak got everything. Why did he get everything? Like, what's missing? What was wrong with, is there some kind of internal strife? So he explained to him, this is very, very cherished, this son, very special. This special boy, he got everything. That's why he says, Lesek Nusa. So he's given him everything. Now here Rashi follows his approach that Rashi already began to develop earlier when we talked about having everything in the palm. So Rashi says, "Vayitan le'eskar shalei shtar matana hera lehem." He showed them the documentation. He says, "You see here, everything, everything been transferred. It's all Yitzchak's now." Vayashbieni Adoni, my master, made me take an oath. Lemer saying, "Lo yisikach isha livni mibnei saknani." Do not bring me home a Canaanite woman for my daughter, my son. Even though I'm living in their land, I don't want a wife for Yitzchak from there. Rather, leisikach isha levni mibnei saknani, says Rashi. What happens if they're not going to be willing to come? Like, what happens if you can get somebody from somewhere else? So Rashi says, in other words, this is the same. Im loy teilech tchila el beisavi. You never want to tell the person that you're trying to negotiate with that you have no option. It'd be a really bad idea. I once heard a story that they were purchasing the Chabad house in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So Rabbi Kagan, Olav Shalom, was negotiating. Oh no, Baruch Shenta was negotiating with the Chinese guy who was selling them the building. And he's a very tough negotiator, Rabbi Shenta. He's like a hard-nosed guy. Poker face, hard-nosed guy. In the meantime, Rabbi Goldstein is the shliach there with Rabbi Kagan Olav Shalom. They were already in the middle of the campus distributing papers, inviting everybody to the grand opening Saturday night.
Where was it?
In Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh,
no. But if the guy would know that the negotiations were going, they already kind of boxed themselves in, right? He didn't know what was going on the other end of town. Vicente's a tough no guy. Nah, I'm not interested. Forget about it. He's bargaining the guy down. So you're going to come and say, look, we got no choice over here. I'm really, you have me over a barrel. So, but you know, you're calling all the shots. That's really, really bad negotiating tactic. There's no way that that's a good way to get a deal. So why would he say that? So Rashi therefore explains. It's not exactly that there will be no other option. He's explaining why he came here first. You shouldn't. Loi tikach isha l'bnei b'niris k'nan. If you don't first go to my father's house, and then if you'll go there and the woman refuses to go, fine, then we can go elsewhere. In other words, this is to begin with. So Eliezer is saying, you have the first shot. You have the first opportunity. First dibs are yours. Here's the deal I'm about to propose. Here's the situation. So why'd you come all the way here? I came here because this is how my master prefers it. This is our preferred outcome. If you want, it's your hands. This is the way we'd like it to be. In Lo, that's the continuation. In other words, Rashi explains Pasuk Lamed Zayin is a continuation. It flows into Pasuk Lamed Ches. It's a continuum into the 38th verse. Im Lo El Beis Avi Teilech. If not, first you go to the house of my father, Mil Mishpachti, to the house, and to my family, V'lokachta Isha Libni, and there you'll be able to find a wife for my son. So the Rabbeinu Miyucha says that the reason Eliezer adds the words El Beis Avi Umishpachti, which that does not, Avram actually didn't say these words. And Eliezer is so loyal and so dedicated, this Eved Avram, then why would he tell his own story? Why didn't he tell what Avram said? The answer is Avram gave him a job to do. And Eliezer, there's a way that Avram Avinu spoke to Eliezer, and that's fine, that works for Avram Avinu Eliezer. But there's also a reality to deal with when it comes to, you don't want to make people uncomfortable. They don't need to know the whole truth. They don't need to know exactly what Avram said. And Rabbeinu Miyucha says that Eliezer was sensitive to the fact that they may become offended. What Avram thinks he's better? What Avram thinks Canaanites are no good? Maybe they get offended. Oh, the Jew thinks he's better. Huh, he's a tick from us. So Eliezer didn't frame it so much with a negativity. He said, it's all ki'im. Don't take a daughter from B'nai Khan. Rather, ki'im. What's the reasoning? Not that something's wrong with the Canaanites. Ki'im is family. Avram's a family man. He wants to stick to his own family. That's why I came back here. So he's trying to mollify them. He's trying to make sure he doesn't offend anybody. I guess we would call this political correctness, modern terminology, which I don't necessarily believe in, but you know what? If you're trying to make a negotiation and you don't want to give people a reason to get their nose bent out of shape, okay, that's a reasonable thing to do. Abarbanel puts it a little differently. He said he wanted, Eliezer wanted them to think that Avraham was like so enamored with them, so they would be flattered. Oh, we're his family. So he's kind of flattering them. But anyway, that's the reason that he did this was simply to get the deal done. I said to my master, but maybe she won't come. Says Rashi, ulai leselech. The word ulai is written in the Torah without a vav. Aleph lamed yud. What's up with that misspelling? Usually ulai is spelled aleph vav. So Rashi says, yeah, good point. Elai, elai ksiv. If you didn't have the vowelization, it says to me. And this, here we know, we give it a window into the greatness of Eliezer. Bas ha'isle Eliezer. Eliezer actually had a daughter. He was trying to like make a suggestion and find a reason to say, Shemer loy l'Avram. Avram should say to him, okay, fine. It's not going to work. We're going to go travel to far away. Maybe she won't come. Maybe my daughter, maybe. Avram didn't allow that. And nonetheless, Eliezer remained absolutely loyal. He didn't get offended. Amar le Avram. Avram said, B'ni Baruch, my son comes from a seed that is blessed. Ata Aru, you come from a different seed, from the seed of Canaan, because Eliezer was from Canaan. And that seed, that progeny, does not have the blessing. The in Arur, cursed is what it says. Yeah. In Arur, Medavak Baruch, you imagine? Yeah. Imagine like a cup of cold water all over your head. Like you're the servant, and he says, you're cursed, and I'm blessed, and it ain't happening.
That's Eliezer, not politically correct.
Politically correct? Avram was not politically correct at all. Eliezer is playing this PC game, because he's trying to get them to, right? So he's kind of hinting to them, believe me, if I could get this shidduch, I'm dying for the shidduch, he said. Avram said, no, you got to go there. Said, you're really special. The Barbanel says, can you imagine how special you are? You're like this blessed seed. What did my master say? Hashem Esher Hisalachti, the fun of God who has walked before me, Yishlach Malacha Itach, he will send his angels with you. V'etzliach Darkecha, you'll be successful. Your ways will result in success. V'lakachta Isha, you will bring a woman, Livni, for my son, Mimishpachti, for my family, Umibes Avi, from my father's home.
Avram knew, so why is not going straightforward? Go get this girl.
Avram knew? Doesn't say Avram knew. Avram knew her name. He would tell her what her name was. Doesn't say he knew her name. He said, this is your mission. Hashem is going to help you. I know I'm doing the right thing. I know this is the right thing to do. Hashem will surely help me. He always says.
Angels go before
him. Angels will go. Avram said really before him. Oz tinarkem elasi. Only after you make those efforts will you be cleansed, if you will, of your oath. Kisavi al mishpachti, you came to my family. What if they'll say no? Eliezer is like, don't think that you hold the keys to the future. Don't think that you could. So if you won't give to me, so then in that case, that I'm free from my oath. I made an oath. I made a commitment. I'm here. I'm doing what I have to do. If you'll say no, okay, then you freed me up. That's it. I move on.
So there's a question here. Here Avraham Avinu says to Eliezer, Yishlach Malacho Itach, with him.
Yeah,
and before that, he sent the angels before him.
Yes, yeah. The Rebbe speaks about it. So the Rebbe says that if Eliezer would say, "Send the angels before him," it's fate they can't play. It's like as if they have no role to play here, and they can get so what do you want from us? Like you, the angels already did this, so therefore it's all part of the negotiation. Like he's saying, he says to them, like just like Rabbi Yuchas explained, and Rabbi Nel that he changed other little details. Because it would be better for the negotiation. Eliezer said, for the negotiation, it sounds like I have angels with me, not before me. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Why did he change from the words of Avraham? Mm-hmm. Essentially, Eliezer is the perfect servant. Totally, totally devoted, totally committed. He really demonstrates absolute subservience, total bittul, total nullity. We could all learn from Eliezer Eved Avraham.
That'd be most good.
Yeah, that's what a chas is supposed to be. Like, but at the same time, you have to learn that when you have a job to do, so you have to use language that's effective. You can't say, well, I have a job, I'm just going to say it like it is and that's all. No, you have to figure it out. You give you a job to do, make it happen. How do you make it happen? Use your own intuition. Marshal your own abilities. Okay, so that's the pitch. I came today, he said.
Well,
kind of know that. Va'oimar Hashem elekei Adoni Avram im yeshlam atzliyav daki, if only you'll make my way successful, God of Abraham, asher anochi eilech aleh. And he goes on to tell the whole story. He needs of Elena Moyim. There I'm standing, and Alma, I say, whoever's going to come out first, and I'm going to ask her, and she's going to give me. And everything goes exactly what's going to happen. And before I finish speaking, as we learned yesterday, there all of a sudden Rivka's out there, and she runs and does all these things. And they say, wow, this is unbelievable. It must be from God. So the question is, why does it say, V'ovi Hayoim? Why does he say he came today? Obviously he came today. They know. They brought him for the road. So Rashi says, V'ovei hayoy means, hayoyim yatzasi, today, this morning I left, v'ayim basi, and towards afternoon, evening I arrived. That's impossible. Says Rashi, mikan, from here we see, in a literal level, not just a midrashic, literal level, we see kofzalei haaretz, that the ground sprang forth v'avram. It's like a wrinkle in the ground. His destination sprang forward, and he walked out of the morning into the afternoon and somehow covered 11 days of journey or whatever, what have you, in just 2 hours, 3 hours. So the question obviously is, why is that relevant? Why is he telling them about this business of the Ovei Hayoyim? And the answer would be, he's trying to impress them. He says, look, this is a really amazing thing. We have to make this happen. And the biggest proof is Hashem is making miracles here. Which brings us to another question. And why indeed was there a miracle? Why was there a miracle? I mean, if it's supposed to be a miracle, so have Rivka miraculously superimposed into Canaan. I don't know, God just like in a flash. If you could change the ground, change the person, just have Rivka, boom, brought to Israel.
Yeah. What was the need for the miracle?
But what was the need for it? And so you see here, this is not a miracle. This is a negotiation. It's not miraculous. It's amazing how his prayers are answered. But there's nothing really supernatural going on there. So far, everything is just fortuitous. Remarkably fortuitous, but fortuitous. And this is an open miracle. To have 11 days travel compressed into 3 hours, that's just a miracle. So the Rebbe asked this question, page Reish Ayin Tes, in the Biurim book, Simchav Zayin. The Rebbe says, here's two questions. Yesh Lisha. Number one, Harei Yadua, it is known, She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oysa Nisim Levatalo. God does not make miracles for no reason. As the Ran says in his drashas, the Ovid Kutshebricha Nisim Lemigano. God doesn't make miracles for no reason. Nature is created by God. Nature is cherished by God. It doesn't break nature for no reason. That's how the Ran explains it. Number two, L'shema Sipir Eliezer on Nesel Ibsul Eleven. Why did he have to tell him? What's the problem?
No, just looking for the right book.
That's the right book. Reish Ayin Tes.
It's told us.
All right. So why did he even tell the story? Why did he tell it? Why did it happen? The Rebbe says an amazing thing. The Yesh Leimar, here is the possible answer. Al Rivka bebeis besuel namar. About Rivka in beis besuel. Rivka as a child growing up in besuel's home, it is written, the pasuk, this is the meaning, this is the euphemism that the pasuk refers to. A pasuk in Shir HaShirim, chapter 2, verse 2. Kishayshana bein hachoichim. Like a rose amongst the thorns. Now, kishem shashayshana gedela dafke bein hachoichim. Where do roses grow? Where do roses grow?
Rose gardens.
In rose gardens and rose bushes. And what do rose bushes always have?
Thorns.
Why do rose bushes have thorns?
To protect the flower.
To protect themselves. Because once you take the flower is what draws the vitality, the flower is what draws the hydration. When the flower is gone, the rose bush itself dries up. So really, they're protecting the flower, but who are they really protecting? themselves. V'hein einem anichem lahitzia mibineim bekalos. They don't allow the roses out easily. Not easily. Why? Mishum, because shebizuchusa zechim afheim lashkoya ulatipuach. Nobody goes and waters thorns. What's the water thorns? What do you water? Roses. You tend to roses. Afheim, pardon me. Kach, so too. God lo Rivka tzadekes ben Rishoyim. Rivka is an extraordinarily righteous person. Is living amongst very wicked, very crooked and corrupt people. Veheim lo hayom anichem lo haitzia mibineihem. They would not just let her go. Because she's here. Automatically blessing comes. They're not letting her go. The loy taina takefes mitzudekes. Unless there's going to be a very strong taina. You're going to have to make a very strong case to extract Rivka from them. And therefore, until Rivka is of the legal age where such a transaction or arrangement can be discussed, Avram cannot begin to make efforts to take her out of her father's house. Why? Speaking on spirituality terminology, the forces of impurity would not allow this. Why not? Why not? Because the forces of impurity want to hold on to Kedusha, to something which is holy. Because if you hold on to something which is holy, what happens? You get taken care of too. The thorns don't want to relinquish the roses, because as long as the roses are there, the thorns will be hydrated and fed and taken care of. Now, Yachadim Zeis, at the same time, Mirega Shenetzra Hafsharas, from the moment that it was possible for Rivka to be taken out of the house of Besuel, there was a need. So Avraham Avinu is waiting for the moment when it's possible. The moment it's possible, he has to take her immediately. She shouldn't remain one extra moment amongst the thorns. And that's why a miracle happened to Eliezer. That's why the ground sprang forward. That's why there was a wrinkle, so to speak, in the ground, so they were able to go from one place and, you know, it's like two pieces of land met each other. Avraham, he's here, and they're here, and all of a sudden Hashem makes the land wrinkle, and he walks straight off here, and there he is. Why? This is a miracle, to take her out of there immediately. Now, Eliezer knew that Besuel and Lavan are going to try to stick spokes, what do they call it? Sticks in the spokes. They're gonna try in some way to impede progress over here. At least try to delay. You know they're going to try to delay. As exactly what happened. They said, you know, Teisha V'nayit Etano Yito Yomim, let her remain a year or 10 months, let her prepare. So he knew. Eliezer anticipated this. Sipra Lam Eliezer. Eliezer says, listen here. Hashem made a miracle. I was able to travel many days, compressed into one. Why? Because this is really important for Rivka to leave now. In other words, make his case. And that's why the miracle here is relevant. To explain to them the great need. And now we know why Eliezer told them that story. And now we also have an understanding into Rivka, who grew up as a rose between the thorns. And when a rose is ready to get picked, don't leave it amongst the thorns, because it can only get torn or hurt by them. And Rivka is rescued just in time, and she goes on, of course, to become the second matriarch of the nascent Jewish people. Hashem should protect us from all the thorns. Amen. And he should bring his Mashiach and not wait anymore, because it's ready now, and staying amongst the thorns can only go the other way. Anyway, should be good to Zachen. Mashiach is Hashem Kumen. Amen. Amen.